You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, July 28th, 2023. And of course, you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Coming up on the end of the work week. And as always, we're trying to end off the week on a fairly light note. I hope we'll be able to do that today. I found this story to be humorous in many ways, but it may not be the usual lightheartedness we've come to expect. Once again, just chalk it up to a decline in quality with Sven's absence. Speaking of Sven, as always, I'd like to remind everybody we've got our support links for Sven. Maybe you can write him a letter or kick a little financial support his way. You know, everything adds up and it all does matter. And I know that he really does appreciate the letters he's received. I always remind everybody he can only send 2 replies a week. He himself can only write 2 letters a week. He can receive however many, but he can only write like 2 letters a week. So, you know, if you're like, don't be like, well, he don't want to hear from me, I haven't heard anything back. But he can only write 2 letters a week and he's receiving all of these letters. So that's the way that rolls. We're going to get into today's story. And before we did, I was just going to some random observations I've made. And for instance, I read a story that the Biden administration, and I think it's humorous that the media uses that term, the Biden administration. It's like a subtle admission that Joe Biden is making very few, if any, actual decisions. This is being done by an administrative body. And I can just picture what these people look like. In fact, we're going to look at one of these people today. And, you know, they're making these decisions. So you have these decisions that are all over the place, which, again, we're going to get into that with today's story. But I read a story that, you know, some of the stuff there, the EPA is wanting to put into effect. For instance, stricter regulations on hot water heaters. It's like they're literally trying to do away with functioning indoor plumbing for us now. And as always, the Republicans, you know, they were going to block this. They had a law to block this. But of course, they watered the law down and passed it. And they're giving the Joe Biden administration everything they want. So typical. The Republican Party is just the most ridiculous fake opposition imaginable. I mean, it really is. I don't know how these people go out and campaign. We're going to stop the Democrats. And it's like they don't stop anything. It's like you have control of the House. So all you got to do is just block funding. It's like when they were whining recently about the FBI and the FBI director refusing to give their committee with their umpteenth hearing some document. And then they're running around acting like they're powerless to do anything about it. Well, this is easy. You say, well, until this guy's fired and until you give the documents to us, we're just cutting your funding starting immediately. Well, of course they would come forward, but they won't do that. You see this in all these fake opposition parties in the West in its entirety. The Republican, I think the most stark example of this are the Republican Party here in the U.S. and the worthless Tories in Britain. They'll come forward and they'll do press conferences and have hearings and talk about how they, and whine about how they agree with you that this is awful. And at the same time, it's like, well, why don't you do something about it? But of course, they never do anything about it. The hot water thing, I mean, it's just a little thing. But it's just one of those things that really sticks with me because people don't understand what these things mean. For instance, part of these stricter regulation is basically banning electric hot water heaters. And you're going to have to get what they call a heat pump hot water heater. Now, you know, the idea with a heat pump hot water heater is, you know, this would be great because, you know, they don't run except when you turn on. And supposedly you never run out of hot water. Because it heats the water as it goes through this. This thing's like a big coil and the water goes around the coils and there's elements wrapped up in the coils and it heats the water as it flows through there. You have hot water when you turn the tap on and it's not wasting energy heating up the hot water when you're not actually using it. In theory, this sounds really good, just like electric vehicles sound really good in theory. But when you actually look into these things, then you understand how it doesn't actually work. Several years ago, I had to replace my hot water heater. I have an electric hot water heater. I had to replace my hot water heater. The old one had gone bad. It was ancient. It had lasted a long, long time. And I thought, hey, while I'm here, maybe I will just put a heat pump in there. It'll be more efficient. This sounds good. But you look into it and you start finding all the drawbacks, which they never tell you about. They really count on people being ignorant about how things work. And they just think, oh, well, you just, instead of putting this kind of water heater, you're going to put this other kind of water heater. For one thing, they're very expensive. For another thing, if you're on like a water well, they don't work very well with that, because even with filtration and such, you're going to have some sediment and such get by and it'll knock them out. They don't last very long. And finally, you can't just wire them up with your wiring for your regular existing hot water heater. You've got to rewire that line. Now, I'm going to say rewire your whole house. You don't have to rewire your whole house, but you have to rewire the wire that goes to the water, because to the water heater. Because these things pull so much amps that your wiring for your hot water heater won't hold it. When they do kick on, they draw an enormous amount of amps, and you'll melt your wiring and burn your house down. So you're going to have to rewire the wiring from your breaker box to this thing, because you've got to put a heavier breaker in because it pulls so much more amperage. See, nobody understands these things. So they come out with this and people read it in passing and they think, well, it might be good. It might be good for everything. Everybody have a more efficient setup, but they don't understand how these things work. They're making us poorer. They're deindustrializing us. They're lowering our standard of living every day. And at the same time, they're agitating for war with Russia and China. And this does, in this sense, relates to our article today. They're agitating for war with Russia and China. World War with Russia and China is already going on. It's just the vast majority of people haven't caught on yet. But the war is going on. It's just not really reached traditional warfare as you imagine it. But we're already in it. And the U.S., by the way, unsurprisingly, is losing. And as they agitate and move forward with this, It's obvious they're completely unprepared. These people live in a bubble world where they believe that making China or Russia look bad on social media equals their winning, regardless of what's going on the battlefield. I read a thing recently where these people actually, I don't remember who it was, but they actually came out and said this, that it doesn't really matter what happens on the battlefield because we control the narrative. They really think that that means more. Like, oh, well, we have this narrative that Ukraine is winning. We have this narrative that NATO is winning and Russia is losing. It doesn't matter how much of our stuff they blow up on the battlefield. That is just literally holding, sticking your head under a blanket and saying the outside world doesn't exist. Reality is going to slap you on the head. So our story today comes from Yahoo News, and the title of it is Biden Picks Female Admiral to lead the Navy. She'd be the first woman on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, because one thing they need is more women. You got to have more women. That's what the military has been lacking. And this woman looks, by the way, she looks just not. I'm not making fun of her looks, but it'd be if you didn't. Don't look at the picture and you just be like, I wonder what she looks like. She looks just like what you would think. She has the glasses, the triggered glasses, whole nine yards. President Joe Biden has chosen, and I doubt President Joe Biden has chosen anything. This was chosen by the Biden administration. They just pushed this doddering old fool out there to make whatever announcements they need him to make. President Joe Biden has chosen Admiral Lisa Franchetti to lead the Navy, an unprecedented choice that, if she is confirmed, will make her the first woman to be a Pentagon service chief and the first female member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Biden's decision goes against the recommendation of his Pentagon chief, but Franchetti, the current vice chief of operations for the Navy, has broad command and executive experience and was considered by insiders to be the top choice for the job. Well, of course, she's top choice for the job because obviously she's the best person, right? She's obviously the most qualified person. The fact that she's the first woman, historic, whatever. Well, let's take a look. Just going to her Wikipedia page, and I'll try to remember to link that here as well. Let's look at her early life. No, it's not what you think. But, let's see what makes her You know, she's got the background. She is no doubt. I mean, she's being chosen for this top job because she is so qualified. She has a background that makes her ready to run the Navy in the middle of a war. When carrier groups start going to the bottom of the sea, she is going to be Johnny on the spot, or I guess it'd be Jill on the spot, Ginny on the spot, whatever the hell on the spot. She's going to be the woman on the spot to make the decision, to make those adjustments, to make the Navy, you know, reorganize into the fighting force it needs to be to take on Russia and China. As, you know, as we continue to deindustrialize ourselves and make it to where the U.S. is unable to actually fight any wars, we're going to fight wars against these two capable adversaries. But she's going to have the ability. See, we got to have these quick-thinking, brilliant minds. Let's take a look at her background. She was born in 1964 in New York. Let's see what kind of education she has. She studied at Northwestern University's Middle School of Journalism and got a Bachelor's of Science degrees in journalism and earning department honors in history. She's a journalism major. Okay. Awesome. Well, of course, obviously, she had to go become an officer. So she attended the Naval War College. And she holds a master's degree in organizational management from the University of Phoenix. Organizational management and journalism. Sounds like a capable admiral to me. Now, I think it shows that these people really do believe that line, that what happens on the battlefield is irrelevant as long as they control the narrative. This is complete detachment, obviously, from reality. Is a literal denial of reality and claiming that what matters is what they say matters. I was thinking the other day the old original Humpty Dumpty story and how Humpty Dumpty says words mean what I say, you know, something along the lines of words mean what I want them to mean at the time. And if I say the same words and mean something different, then the meaning of those words changes. This is a Humpty Dumpty society. This is a Humpty Dumpty government we live under. Words mean what we say they mean. If we say we're winning on the battlefield, then we're winning on the battlefield and Russia has no chance because we say so. This is literally the circular logic that is going through these people's minds. China is just is an amazing advanced country. If you watch any of the non-Western slanted videos about life in China, this is like they are so far ahead of the backwards West. It's breathtaking. And they have enormous industrial capacity. And that's what matters. Enormous industrial capacity. They have a homogenous society. You have to understand, yes, their industrial capacity is geared largely in a large part towards civilian, you know, economic output. But they have a homogenous, like-minded society. And switching all of that to a war output, it would be as easy as flipping a light switch. Russia has weathered all of these sanctions and is continuing their march for their program of dismantling NATO's military capability. So many people are missing that. And you know, I'm not an expert on these like Dr. Johnson is. I'm not claiming to be, but I can observe things. You know, I can observe things and I read articles by people who sit here and talk about how Russia is making this huge blunder. They're letting NATO drag this on, and this makes us closer to World War III, and this is a horrible thing. And why hasn't Russia so stupid, and why is Putin so naive, and why didn't they just go in there and blitzkrieg the Ukraine and NATO would have then backed off? And why does he keep doing the things they're doing? Well, obviously, because they know what they're doing. Look, they've already decided that a war with NATO, this is my belief now, if this doesn't make any sense to you, if you look at Putin and Xi, do these appear to be stupid people to you? No, I don't think they do appear to be stupid people. Putin has managed to, you know, basically break Russia away from the West. The sanctions don't work, and their economy has gotten stronger. And Xi has done an amazing job in China. So these aren't stupid people. So obviously, if you don't understand what they're doing, you just simply don't understand what they're doing. And I look at this, for instance, with Russia's case, they're simply, what they're doing is, if you believe that a military confrontation with NATO is inevitable. And I think they're right in that belief. If Russia had gone in and blitzkrieged the Ukraine, would NATO really have backed off? I think that's an incorrect assumption. NATO would have just, when do these people ever back off? No, they double down and come back at you again. So why would you not drag this out? We're at the point now the U.S. is begging Japan to give them back artillery ammunition that they sold Japan. They're like, yeah, you bought this from us, but we're going to need that back because we're out. They're grinding away the hardware capability to fight a war. Now, if you were going to have to imagine you were in like just as an individual person and you were getting into a gunfight with somebody and you had the ability to get this person, you just kept waving something in front of them and they're shooting at it like crazy. Well, you would keep doing that until they ran out of bullets, wouldn't you? Before you stepped up and started shooting back. I think this is a very simplistic way to put it, but I believe that's what Russia is doing. They're grinding up all of this hardware. They're grinding up all of this ammunition. And that makes sense if you believe that NATO is not going to ever back off. So you might as well confront them sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, on the economic front, China continues to undermine the dollar. The dollar is continuing to wave and waffle around. Everything they're doing makes sense. And what do you have on the opposite side of this? What do you have in the West? We're going to have a historic woman admiral running the Navy. These are not people that are serious about getting ready for World War III, which again is already going on. But, you know, the hot portion of it, the portion of it to where people then can't deny that it's going on. These are not people that are serious about this, and yet these are the same people that are plunging us forward into it. We're going to have this historic woman running the Navy. You look at all of these European countries, our supposed allies, they're just vassal states. And every one of them, their defense ministers are women. All their people running everything are women. They don't have any ammunition. I read a deal here a while back that the UK has enough rifle ammunition to fight for maybe a day. One day. That's how prepared they are for this. And they're putting all these women in charge. And then we're doing this women and diversity. And we're doing all of the homosexual stuff. Who's going to do the fighting? They're plunging us into a war while at the same time destroying the ability to fight. Now, when it's all going down the toilet, I suppose they'll run around all of a sudden and try to draft regular white men from the South to get them to go fight. But I think that might be a little too little too late. In a statement Friday, Biden noted the historical significance. You always know this is a BS affirmative action appointment when they go on about the historical significance. There's no competence involved here. The historical significance of her selection, and said, throughout her career, Admiral Franchetti has demonstrated extensive expertise in both the operational and policy arenas. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin recommended that Biden select Admiral Samuel Papero, the current commander of the Navy's Pacific Fleet, several U.S. officials said last month, but instead Biden is nominating Papero to lead the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. Papero is a white guy, so of course he's not going to get this. I don't think for a minute that Biden is making these decisions. These are being made by administration officials, and they just put it on his desk, and they're like, sign here and eat my jello. Watch Matlock. Biden's sitting in the Oval Office watching Matlock reruns with a blanket over his lap eating his jello. And these officials, these administration people, you got Lloyd Austin, and he's recommending this white guy because on some level, he's thinking, man, we're going to have somebody in here who knows how to fight. You know, we're heading into war here. But no, we have to have another historical. That's not historical enough. A senior administration official said Biden chose Franchetti based on the broad scope of her vagina. No, they did not say that. That's what we know is the case. The broad scope of her experience at sea and ashore with her journalism degree, including a number of high-level policy and administrative jobs that give her deep knowledge in budgeting and running the department. Recommending, how you're going to deploy your fleets in the case of a world war. not figuring out where your ships need to be to where they're not getting blown out of the water. No, you're using your organizational abilities for budgeting. It's at the same time, the official acknowledged that Biden understands the historical nature of the nomination and believes that Franchetti will be an inspiration to sailors, both men and women. And let's not leave out the trans community and everybody else. The official spoke earlier on condition of anonymity because this could just be made up by the media, but who the hell knows? I like how they try to frame this as the historical nature is like secondary. You see, it's because she's such a good administrator with her journalism degree and whatnot. She's such a good and capable administrator, which again is going to come in really handy when, you know, ships start going to the bottom of the ocean, when hypersonic missiles are taking out these stupid Navy carrier groups that are obsolete. But the historical nature of this, you see, that's just like a bonus. You get the historical nature. Let's see what the evil Republicans are up to. Franchetti's nomination will join the list of hundreds of military moves that are being held up by Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. He's blocking confirmation of military officers in protest of a Defense Department policy that pays for travel when a service member has to go out of state to get an abortion or other reproductive care. Biden, in his statement, blasted Tuberville for prioritizing his domestic political agenda over military readiness. Wow. I have to read that again. Blasting this guy for prioritizing his domestic political agenda over military readiness. You're putting a woman with a journalism degree in charge of the Navy. It's the other guy that is putting military readiness in jeopardy for the sake of domestic political agendas. Sometimes it's just so in your face that you just have to stop. You just have to stop and soak it in. It's like, did they really? Are people so stupid that just... Phew? Well, if you glance through the comments, it's, yes, they are that stupid. What Senator Tuberville is doing is not only wrong, it's dangerous, Biden said. He's risking our ability to ensure that, and I'm not sure if this was a verbal statement or if this is a statement released, because it does seem a little too coherent for him to have said it. Who might have been somebody else wrote this and released this statement. I don't know. I don't care. He's risking our ability to ensure that the United States Armed Forces remain the greatest fighting force in the history of the world, and his Republican colleagues in the Senate know it. The greatest fighting force in the history of the world that, let's be honest, their track record since World War III hasn't been real great. Let's be honest, track record. I don't know about that whole greatest fighting force thing. You know, it's... Franchetti is slated to serve as the acting Navy chief beginning next month when Admiral Michael Gilday, the current top naval officer, retires as planned. See, this is how the Republicans fake actually doing anything. We just read about how the evil Republicans are holding this up. They're holding this up because they're mad about Defense Department policy about abortion. But see, it's all fake. She's just going to get the job without the hearing. She'll just be the acting head of this. She's still going to have the job. This whole thing, all of the politics in the U.S. is theater. And when you realize that and you view it and you understand it's theater. Whenever I go to a restaurant and sit down and eat and they have like Fox News up there and I watch all the theater headlines go across there, you know. It is all such obvious theater. Oh my gosh, the Republicans are being so outrageous. They're holding up this appointment. Oh my gosh, so does that mean nobody's going to hold that job? Well, no, actually, she'll just take over the job without actually having an appointment. When they eventually get around to it, they will go ahead and confirm her. And then, once again, the Democrats get everything they want. Keep voting harder. It's going to work. Several women have served as military service secretaries, as political appointees, but never as their top uniformed officer. A woman, Admiral Linda L. Fagan, is currently the Commandant of the Coast Guard. She, however, is not a member of the Joint Chief of Staff, or of the Joint Staff. The Coast Guard is a part of the Department of Homeland Security and not the Pentagon. And are things better? These people are always, they always come around to saying that somehow What was it in that one story we did, the term that uterus heifers? They come with these stories and they insinuate that somehow a uterus heifer having this job is going to somehow be superior to somebody else having this job. At the end of the day, these people are agitating for war. This is why I find it humorous. You might say, you know, Dan, I don't see where the lighthearted part of this is. It's lighthearted because it's so absurd, because the same people that are pushing for world war with two very capable adversaries, and that's not counting the rest of the world that is eventually going to side with those adversaries if they have not already, are deindustrializing this country, or continuing to deindustrialize it, lowering people's standard of living. The economic output is plummeting, regardless of what their fake statistics say. And they're putting incompetent women in charge of the military. And they live in a world where they think because they control the narrative, none of that matters. None of that matters. What matters is what we say matters. But eventually Humpty Dumpty fell off the damn wall, didn't he? This Humpty Dumpty going to fall off the wall. And I'm going to think it's funny when it happens. The news last month that the defense chief had recommended Papera stunned many in the Pentagon, because it was long believed that Franchetti was in line for the top Navy job. We're not sure who was stunned. They never tell us. They just state these things as though the media knows about this. It's just like when they say anonymous sources, I always usually kind of figure they're making it up, because how are you going to know it's an anonymous source? They state something like this as fact. It was stunned. The Pentagon, everybody at the Pentagon was stunned. Or really, who? Tell us who exactly. In a statement Friday, Austin praised the nomination, saying, "I'm very proud that Admiral Franchetti has been nominated to be the first woman chief of staff of Chief of Naval Operations and members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, where she will continue to inspire us all." I'm sure Lloyd Austin said that exactly. I'm sure he wrote that statement just like that. This totally does not sound like it was written by a woman. Anyway, the media is going to go ahead and continue to baffle us with more BS about how capable she is. You notice nowhere in this story did they mention like what kind of degree she had, what her background is actually in. You notice they didn't do that. I had to go and do that on my own, because they know that 99.99% of people read these articles aren't going to bother doing that. Just a journalism degree, administrative, she knows nothing about rearranging fleets. But let's hear about her background, because at first passing, it kind of actually sounds like maybe, you know, if you're just skimming through this and you had the mindset that the media doesn't lie, you would think, well, wow, she does sound like she might know what she's doing. A surface warfare officer. She is commanded at all levels, heading the U.S. 6th Fleet and U.S. Naval Forces Korea. She was the second woman ever, back to having a uterus again, she was the second uterus haver ever to be promoted to 4-star admiral. You see, she's promoted to 4-star admiral. There you go. The credentialism wins again. And she did multiple deployments. Like, she was out there fighting. Like, she was out there commanding in the middle of the battle. She was deployed. Because you hear that term deployment, you think of guys that got deployed. Because if you say, you talk to somebody, and he's like, yeah, man, I did 3 deployments in Afghanistan. You're like, it was rough. He's like, yeah, my friends got their legs blowed off, and I'm still messed up. That's what you think of. So when you hear that she was deployed, you think, oh, my gosh, she had a helmet on. She was out there. Her deployments are not like your deployments, including as commander of a naval destroyer and 2 stints as aircraft carrier strike group commander in a non-actual fighting situation, of course. Papero, who, if confirmed, will replace Admiral John Aquilino, I may not say that, is a naval aviator and a Top Gun graduate with more than 6,000 flight hours in Navy fighter jets, 1,100 landings on aircraft carriers. Pennsylvania native, he graduated from Villanova University and was commissioned into the Navy in 1987. Notice we get his educational background to an extent, but not hers. Prior to his Pacific tour, he was commander of naval forces in the Middle East, where actual fighting, you know, the Navy was actually flying sorties. based in Bahrain, and also previously served as Director of Operations at U.S. Central Command in Florida. Biden also said he will nominate Vice Admiral James Kilby to be the Vice Chief of the Navy and top Vice Admiral Stephen Kohler to head the Pacific Fleet. This is all going to end well. This is all the direction things are headed. This is all going to end really well. They're agitating for war with Russia and China. And nobody has any idea what that means, because all they read is this gibberish from the media. Let me tell you what this means. The Chinese fought the U.S. to a standstill in Korea, in the Korean War. And this was when China was just basically peasant farmers. They'd just come out of their civil war. And they sent guys in, waves and waves of guys, took enormous casualties and fought the U.S. to a standstill. And this was when the U.S. military was led by people like MacArthur, by real men. There wasn't all of this diversity and putting women in charge. These were hardened veteran men. And the Chinese fought them to a standstill with antiquated, out-of-date, crap-ass weapons. And they still fought them to a standstill. MacArthur wanted to use nukes. That was one of the reasons he got pulled. He wanted to use nukes because that was all the U.S. had left. They couldn't win. Now, you fast forward to today, and China's not fighting with dealing, you know, they're not handling antique, out-of-date, ridiculous weapons. They have a massive manufacturing capability. They're not begging for spare planes to pretend they have an air force. They're not begging for spare planes from Stalin. And yet, they were able to fight the U.S. to a standstill in Korea. That's the reality. They don't want to tell you that. They try to act like, oh, no, it was this other stuff, and they wouldn't let them. No, the U.S. couldn't win, okay? The U.S. couldn't win in Vietnam. The U.S. defeated Saddam Hussein, but now Iraq is closer to Iran than it ever was. If you want to call that winning, I guess you can. But they did technically depose Saddam Hussein. They fled Afghanistan, leaving equipment behind, much like what they did in Vietnam. They lose. They have this track record of losing. And yet you have people that seem to act like they have this mindset like, well, what we really need is a really tough battle. You know, I mean, it'd be like if you went into boxing, and you're fighting all of these lower level amateur matches and you keep getting your ass kicked by these amateurs. And then you decide, well, the problem isn't that I'm not a very good boxer. The problem is that I need to fight the world champ, because then I can rise up to his level. If I fight the world champion, it'll be a different outcome. I'm losing to these golden glove guys, but I really need to fight the world champ, and then I'll win. A lot of people don't seem to understand why this is. When you have policies like we're reading about here, they're putting women in charge. They're not anybody taking any of this serious, because the people making these decisions aren't people that deal with the real world. Those people have all long been purged. They want people that share the same ideology, the same make-believe worldview. But beyond that, I've talked on my shows multiple times about the corruption is so ingrained in the U.S. People sit around and they're like, why do all these trains keep derailing? Well, because we spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure, but nobody actually fixes the infrastructure. They spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure. I don't know how many times I've heard the big news. Boy, $1 trillion is going to be spent on infrastructure, and the roads are still horrible. Why? Because the money is not, there's so much corruption, the money gets siphoned off, and it's worse in the defense industry. We're spending a quadrillion dollars on the U.S. military. They always talk about the U.S. as the biggest military in the world, the most powerful military in the world. But that always comes down to being based on the amount of money being spent. Yet they're out of artillery rounds. They're having to beg artillery rounds back from Japan that Japan already bought. Why is that? How do you spend the amount of money that the U.S. spends on its military and you're out of something so basic as artillery rounds? Because the money is going in people's pockets. They put out these ridiculous boondoggle military contracts. Oh, we're going to develop this new such and such whiz-bang equipment. And at the end of the day, it never works. They spend a kajillion dollars on this thing and it doesn't work. But everybody gets rich. the money gets passed around, it goes in the right pockets. Same with these infrastructure projects. The money gets passed around, it goes in the right pockets. Everybody gets rich, but that doesn't mean it works. Everybody that spouts off about how the U.S. has the most powerful military, that's based on spending. But there's so much corruption, that doesn't mean anything. The corruption is so embedded, so ingrained in the system, you don't know what the U.S.'s military capability actually is. I have to imagine that the morale in the military, from the guys that, you know, actually in reality would actually be sent out to fight, I can't imagine the morale being very good. All they're doing is pushing these ridiculous, weird social experiments in the military. This absurd idea that you're going to put these women in charge. Look, when it's too late, when it's unavoidable to deny the reality that they're losing horribly, they're going to want to draft. And who are they going to draft? The people they always draft. Start with white men from the South. That's who they're going to start with. You know, Mexicans from South Texas and black people. That's who they're going to say. They're going to be sending no rich kids. There ain't going to be no Bushes, Clintons, or anybody like that. It's not getting drafted. They're going to be sending the white, poor white people from the South, Mexicans from South Texas, and blacks. That's who's getting drafted. They're not going to be going into the Jewish communities in New York City and drafting those people. Wall Street people, the heads of these corporations, there's always going to be an exemption for them. They're not going to get sent. We know who's going to get sent. It'll be too little, too late. All of this is in the backdrop. The Americans have this view of war, that it's a game. It's a TV show they watch on TV. They don't care when their government goes off and blows up Libya because they just watch it on TV like a show. I remember when the Iraq war was going on and people watched their TV screens and they'd watch the film of these smart bombs or the video from a helicopter gunning down unarmed people in the streets and be like, hell yeah, America, kicking ass, taking names. War with Russia and China is going to be a wake-up call. Everybody talks about nukes. They don't have to nuke you. These hypersonic missiles, they can detonate a nuke. They can also send a conventional. It's like it doesn't dawn on anybody that Russia cannot bomb the U.S. unless they use the nuclear option. But why do you think that? They have all of these hypersonic weapons that can reach you with a nuke. They can just put a conventional warhead on there. Imagine when these defense contractor facilities start getting dropped bombs on and it makes a mile-wide crater on it, but it's a conventional weapon. All of a sudden, you know, when they start bombing power plants and bombing this and bombing that, and all of a sudden, whoa, this isn't a TV show anymore. And they look to see who's running it. And I have a feeling they're not going to care about the historical significance of the first uterus haver ever running the Navy. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you've had a chance to catch all our content here on Radio Alvin. I think it's good. I think it's worth listening to, and hopefully you do too. So enjoy your weekend. Hope you'll catch us next week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.